The following message, titled Honor Your Mother, was based on Exodus 20, verse 12. This message was delivered on Sunday morning, May 11, 2014, to Emmanuel Reformed Baptist Church of SeaTac, Washington, by Pastor Robert Martin.
Please turn in your copy of the Scriptures to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. I want to begin this morning with a show of hands. How many of you have a mother? How many of you are undecided? All right. Well, if you have a mother, then I direct your attention to a very important passage of Scripture. A passage of Scripture that is particularly relevant on today, since in our national life this is designated as Mother's Day. In Exodus 20 and verse 12, the Scripture says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." Today is Mother's Day. And I want to use this opportunity to encourage you to do what this text says that we are to do. And that is to honor your mother. Now, the fifth commandment, which we've just read, obliges us to honor our mothers at all times. And any tradition that helps us to do that is helpful. Given all that our mothers have done for us, surely it is right one day out of the year to remember them with special honor. Well, today I want to speak to children of all ages about our duty to honor our mothers. Not just today, on a special day, but in a way that on every day fulfills the requirements of the fifth commandment. Now, as we take up this very brief portion of Scripture, there are three things that I want us to do. I want us to consider, first of all, the essential meaning of honoring our mothers. What does that mean? And then second, to look at the biblical motives for honoring our mothers. And then third, some specific suggestions for honoring our mothers. Now, gentlemen, Father's Day is coming up in June. We're not going to do another message on Father's Day. You're on your own. But much, or if not most, of what will be said today applies equally concerning our fathers as well. But consider first of all the essential meaning of our text. When the fifth commandment says, honor your father and your mother, what does the word honor mean? In the movie Princess Bride, in the conversation between Wesley and Mazzini in their battle of wits, Zini keeps using the word inconceivable. And Wesley says to Vizzini, "You use that word a lot. Are you sure it means what you think it means?" Well, in our culture, we use the word honor an awful lot, don't we? But are we sure that we know what that word means? Are we sure, especially when we find it in verb form, as we do here, are we sure we understand what is implied by the Bible's language at this point when it says, honor your father and your mother? Well, the verb that's at the heart of the fifth commandment, translated honor, literally is a weighty word. It is derived from a Hebrew word which literally conveys the idea to be heavy. And when it's used of people, it refers to weighty or important persons, that is, to those who are worthy of respect, those who are worthy of our attention, or those who are worthy of our obedience. And in the verb form that we find here, the idea is that we are to treat such people with honor, with attention, with respect, with obedience. But now, in the precise form that is found in the fifth commandment, in the particular Hebrew form, intensive Hebrew form that is found, it doesn't mean simply to treat with honor and respect. It means to busy oneself eagerly in that action. That is, the fifth commandment literally is saying, be eager, be energetic, be busy in honoring your father and your mother. But now I want us to see in a couple of other passages in the scripture how this term is used, so we can get something of the flavor. If you'll turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. In Proverbs chapter 3, Solomon is speaking to his son about the blessings that will follow his acknowledging God in all of his ways. And in this fatherly lecture, Solomon counsels his son as he does beginning in verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands, for length of days and long life and peace will they add to you. Son, if you listen to what I say, if you implement the principles I'm trying to teach you, it's going to fall out well for you. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Let these be the principles that govern your life. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Now verse 9, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. He counsels his son, in all your ways acknowledge God. Let every area of life show that you recognize who God is, that He is your Creator, He is your Maker, and He is your Lord and King. Let every area of life show that you recognize who He is and what He requires of you from His Word. This, Solomon tells his son, will be the path of knowing God's favor and blessing. Now, our word honor appears in verse 9. And here, as one example of what God requires of those who acknowledge Him in all their ways, He says, honor, and it's the exact form found in the fifth commandment, that is, be eager and energetic in honoring the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. In other words, out of respect for God, for who He is, and for what He has done for you, be eager and energetic in doing what He says in His Word. In this case, return to Him a portion of what He has given to you. Now, the point is that acknowledging who God is, that is, acknowledging He is my Maker and He is my ruler, requires more than mere lip service. It requires more than simply saying, Jehovah is my God. Acknowledging who God is requires that we be eager and energetic in honoring Him in tangible ways that He has enjoined in His Word. We don't honor him merely by casually conceding mentally that he is our maker and ruler. Oh, well, yes, Jehovah is my God. We don't honor him by merely speaking words that express that attitude and simply saying, well, Jehovah is my God. It isn't enough simply to concede mentally or even to speak verbally words that sound like he is our God. We acknowledge him, in fact, by eagerly and energetically giving to him the respect and the attention and the obedience which is his due. In other words, honoring his God or honoring God is heart business. It does involve the attitude of the heart, but it's more than that. It is active. It is not passive. It involves doing certain things that reflect the eagerness of our hearts to acknowledge him in our ways. Well, in like manner, honoring your mother requires that you eagerly, energetically, from the heart, give to her in tangible ways, in the ways that the Bible requires of you, that you give to her the respect and the attention and the obedience that her relationship to you warrants. Well, who is your mother to you? She is your mother who bore you. She gave you life. If you are adopted, your mother took you to herself and has done for you everything that a mother does for a child. She is your parent. She has been placed over you by the Lord. She is not your inferior. She is not your peer. In God's world, he has put her over you as your superior, as a ruler who has been set over you by the Lord, but a ruler who is also bound to you by cords of love, who gives herself to you, who gives herself for you in a myriad of ways that you may barely recognize. And acknowledging her means more than casually conceding her identity. Acknowledging her means a lot more than simply saying, yeah, that's my mom. You must eagerly, energetically honor her in tangible, demonstrable ways, giving her the respect, the attention, again, and even the obedience that her relation to you deserves. It's heart business. It's active. It's not passive. It's going to involve doing tangible things that reflect the eagerness of your heart to acknowledge her in your ways. But now look to Isaiah chapter 29. And we will read verses 13 and 14. The Lord said, "Inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men, that is, they worship me according to their own way. Therefore, behold, I will again do a marvelous work among this people, a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hidden." Fundamentally, in this text, the Lord protests that honoring him must come from the heart. The context of these remarks and the case to which this verse refers, the nation of Judah had come to the point that they were worshiping God according to their own devices. They had designed their own manner of worship. They had decided to do what felt best for them or what was most satisfying for them. But they worshiped God now according to their traditions and according to their self-will, but they had abandoned worshiping him according to his law. And the word honor appears here again in this intensive sense. He says their lips honored him. They were very eager. They were very energetic in the things that they said, very eager and profuse in their profession, saying, Jehovah is our God. Ask any one of them, any time of day, any place. Who is your God? Jehovah is our God. We are the children of Jehovah. But their disobedience to his law showed that their hearts were far away from him. The religion in their mouths did not match the religion in their hearts. And that was to be seen from the fact that they didn't obey him. They were glad for Jehovah to be their God up until the point he said, do this or don't do that. And then they wanted their own way, and they wanted to be believed that they were his children, though they did not, in fact, honor him with anything other than lip service. All their religion was in their mouths, but if they had never opened their mouths, you would never have guessed that these were religious people, because they didn't act like religious people. They didn't act like a people that feared the Lord. They didn't act like a people who knew him and understood what he required of them. But talk, even eager, energetic talk, isn't enough, especially when you say one thing with your mouth and something else by your actions. And God complained on numerous occasions about this. He says to Ezekiel, for example, they sit before me as my people, and they hear your words. Ezekiel was a preacher of the truth. He said, they come before you. They hear what you're saying. They hear your words, but do them not. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goes after their gain. Their hearts are someplace else. Their hearts have a different agenda than honoring me. Now, if we transfer these principles to our relations to our mothers, again, we see that honoring our mothers, it has to begin in our hearts, doesn't it? And our actions will prove whether our talk means anything or whether it's just lip service. Mom, I love you. Is that just talk? Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Is that just talk? Is that just lip service? Or are we showing by our actions that we really believe that in our hearts, that we really do love our mothers and we really do want to honor them in the ways that are appropriate given the relationship? And so taking these thoughts together, what does God mean when he says, honor your mother? Well, it's clear that he's saying, treat her as a weighty, important person. Treat her with the respect and with the attention and with the obedience that her relationship to you deserves. He's saying, don't be casual or flippant in this duty, but eagerly, energetically, honor her in tangible, demonstrable ways. She ought to be able to see that you love her and see that you honor her as well as hear the words from your lips. This must be heart business. It must come from a heartfelt eagerness to do so. But remember, talk's cheap. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. How cheap is that? What did that cost you? You can be eager and energetic in your words. You can be profuse in your professions of love for her, and yet by your actions show that your heart is far, 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 far from her. number one lesson of the fifth commandment is don't honor your mother with just lip service. That's not really honoring her at all. That's cheap. That's easy. Anyone can talk the talk. But how do you treat her? But now consider secondly this morning the motives that the Bible sets before us for honoring our mothers. As we examine the rest of the Bible, we discover that the fifth commandment is cited in a number of places. And in those places, we discover that there are certain motives that are set out in order to motivate us to actually obey the fifth commandment, to honor our fathers and our mothers. And when you look at these passages, you find that the motives fall into certain distinct categories. Consider first that you and I should honor our mothers because the Bible says it's right. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Now the idea that we should do something because it is right is an idea that's not in great favor in our day. It's a concept that seems to have been lost in vast areas of our culture, but nonetheless, when the Bible describes this particular issue of the fifth commandment, we read in Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's the right thing to do. And here the Bible teaches that in order for you children to obey the fifth commandment, you must also obey your parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. Now, this is a necessary part of obeying the command to honor them. If you are under your mother's authority, God says to you, it is the right thing for you to do to obey her. In order to honor mom, you can't just say Happy Mother's Day. You can't just say, Mom, I love you. In order to honor mom, you must obey her. When she tells you to do something, unless she has told you to commit a sin, then you must obey her in order to honor her. Now the question is, why? Why must you children obey your parents? What motive does the Bible emphasize here to move you to do your God-given duty to your mom? What reason does the Bible give here to prod your conscience to honor her? The Bible says, because it is right. As Paul describes this principle, he points us in the right direction as to what that means in the preceding phrase. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for or because this is right. What does he mean in the Lord? Well, this statement's found in a context. There's a larger statement being made. There's a larger theme being pursued. This is only part of it. And if you go back to verse 21 of chapter 5, you see where this train of thought begins. Paul admonishes these Ephesian Christians. He says, submit to one another in the fear of God. That is, with the recognition that God's eye is upon you, that he sees what you do as well as hears what you say, and that he will call what you say and do into judgment. And you need to reverence him. You need to recognize that there is this moral dimension to all of these relationships that Paul's going to describe between husbands and wives, between masters and servants, between parents and children. There's a moral dimension. God's going to bring into judgment how we relate to one another at an ethical and a moral level. And so he says, submit to one another in the fear of God. Be governed in your behavior by those moral principles that God has revealed to you in his word. And so again, in what follows, Paul shows what this means in the submission of wives to husbands, in the submission of children to parents, in the submission of servants to masters. And interpreting the statement in chapter 6 about children and parents in the light of this overarching theme, what he is saying is that obeying our parents in the Lord means obeying them in the fear of the Lord. Recognizing that there's more to the relationship than just me and mom or me and dad, that there's a third party involved, and that's God himself. And so what does it mean to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right? It means that you are to do so because God has plainly expressed this is his lordly will for you. And this, of course, leads Paul to another thought. If it's the Lord's will, then by definition it is the right thing to do. You see, that's what separates right from wrong. That's what separates righteous from unrighteous. That's what separates good from evil. It is what God wills. It is what God says. It is what he declares. And so Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, that is, out of the fear of the Lord, for this is right. It is morally upright in accord with his will for you and his law when he commanded you, honor your father and your mother. And from that point forward, from the point God said, honor your father and your mother, from that point forward, the definition of the right thing to do is clearly settled. Now, my point in bringing you to this passage is to show you that honoring your mother is right. However much our culture has lost that concept of right and wrong, don't follow after them. There are still things that are right. There are still things that are wrong. God's law still defines the boundaries between those things. Here is something in which God has said this is the right thing to do. Do it because it's right in God's eyes. You should treat her then as an important person with the respect and the attention and obedience that her relationship deserves. You should do this eagerly, energetically, actively, honoring her from your heart in demonstrable ways, first and foremost because it is the right thing to do. And to refuse to do that is to incur guilt before God as a lawbreaker. But now consider second, not only is it the right thing to do, but the Bible, recognizing that we often need multiple motives to do the right thing, says that we should honor our mothers because it is in our own best interest to do so. If you'll turn back to Exodus chapter 20, consider the terms of the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Here the Lord plainly links obedience to the fifth commandment to a long and prosperous life in the land of Canaan. Now there are other passages in the Old Testament that confirms this legitimate self-interest aspect of the motivation to keep the commandment. If you'll turn over to Exodus 21 and verse 15. he who strikes his father and his mother shall surely be put to death. If you dishonor father and mother in that way, the law of Moses required your life in payment for that guilt and for that crime. Verse 17, he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. That statute was meant to provide a very serious motivation to watch how you speak to your parents. If you turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 16, this cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt. Not blessed are you, no matter what you do, no matter how you treat mom and dad. You can treat her like dirt and everything is going to be well. No, cursed is everyone who treats their father and their mother with contempt. Who disrespects them, disregards them, disobeys them, who doesn't care what mom and dad want or have said. To take that approach to your relationship to your mom is to bring yourself under the curse of God. And then in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 20. Whoever curses his father or mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. Now that doesn't sound like a good thing, does it? You will be brought to a place, you will be brought to a condition where you will have no light. With all the fearfulness of dwelling in utter darkness. And then Proverbs 30. And I'll begin reading in verse 11. There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, that is, who doesn't have any pangs of conscience about this. Yet is not washed from its filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are like swords, and whose fangs are like knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among them. The leech has two daughters, give and give. There are three things that are never satisfied, four never say enough, the grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not satisfied with water, and the fire never says enough. The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. Sounds like honoring mom and dad's a serious business, doesn't it? But how many times in our relationship with our parents we're like the leech? All we can say is give, 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 give. You may be thinking, oh, well, that was all in the Old Testament. That's all the Old Covenant for an Israelite who dwelt in Canaan. What's that got to do with me? Well, let's come back to Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul is addressing New Covenant Christians. He is addressing people living in the period of the New Covenant, really whether Christians or not. But he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on earth. The earth. You want to live a long life? somewhere in your formula for living. You better be honoring mom and dad. The curse against those who despise their parents and who treat them with disrespect and dishonor, that curse has not changed. But now consider in the third place, honoring your mom's not just the right thing to do. And it's not just in your best self-interest. Those things are true. But consider third that you should honor her because you should be concerned for her happiness. And I want you to look at two statements in the book of Proverbs. First in Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs 10 and verse 1. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. And turn over to chapter 23. Verse 24, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. These texts contrast the foolish and the wise, in this case, children. Foolish children and wise children. The wise child, chapter 10 says, brings joy to his parents. The path of wisdom is to bring them joy. He makes a glad father. Chapter 23, verse 24, his father will greatly rejoice and have joy in him, delight in him. The foolish child, on the other hand, brings grief to his parents. He is the heaviness of his mother. His foolishness brings his parents not happiness, not joy, but grief and sorrow. And how is the foolish child's foolishness known? What does his father and his mother see that brings them to grief? In what is his lack of wisdom? In what is his foolishness seen? Well, the answer is that he does not behave righteously. He does not obey God's commands. In these Proverbs, the wise child and the righteous child are the same. The foolish child and the disobedient, unrighteous child are the same. The wise child who makes his parents glad ends up being the righteous child who keeps God's law. That's what makes his parents glad. If you break the other nine commandments, if you are an idolater and you're worshiping gods that don't exist, if you're refusing to worship the Creator and Lord of the heavens and the earth, how do you think mom's going to feel about that? How do you think dad's going to feel about that? If they're thinking rightly, they're going to be grieved. Are they going to pillow their heads at night joyful that I have an idolater for a son or a daughter? What if you're a blasphemer? Or a Sabbath breaker? What if you're a murderer? Or a thief? Or a liar? Or a fornicator? Or your life is swarming with covetousness? I'll tell you what's going to happen. Your parents, even if your parents aren't Christians, if they see that you're a murderer and a fornicator and a liar and a thief, they see these things, it's going to break their hearts. Your sin brings them grief, not joy. But now when it comes to the fifth commandment, the same principle applies there. Do you think your disobedience and disrespect makes mom happy? Do you think it brings her joy? No, I would never think that. All right, fair enough. But you seem to think sometimes, don't we? Don't we sometimes seem to think that it doesn't affect mom at all then? Doesn't make her happy, but, well, it makes me happy. Well, yeah, but it makes mom sad. It brings her grief. If you dishonor your parents, you're going to break their hearts and they're going to go down to their graves in grief. Proverbs 23 says, let your father and your mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. In other words, you ought to honor your mother because it brings her happiness. Now, do you want your mother's broken heart on your conscience? Are you daily going to turn her joy into sadness by disrespectful words or rebellious looks or contrary ways? Do you want her to cry herself to sleep at night with lament, oh, what a fool I have for a son or a daughter? Why do you treat me so shamefully? Why do you act so wickedly? Many a mother's pillow is stained with the tears that have been brought by a fool for a son and a daughter. You should be concerned about her happiness. She is your mother. She literally stepped into the jaws of death to give you life. And even if she is your adopted mother, she has denied herself in so many ways that you cannot even count it up in order that you might be happy. Have you no concern for her happiness at all? That you will speak to her disrespectfully? That you will look at her as though she's from another planet? And disregard the things that she asks you to do? Well, finally, today, some specific suggestions. Here I can do more than give a few hints in the right direction. Do you remember what the Lord said about the religious and rebellious Israelites of Isaiah's day? He complained about them because their honoring of him was mere lip service, just talk. For they said one thing, and yet they did something else. Mere lip service. And we saw earlier that when it comes to honoring our mothers, in like manner, our actions will prove whether our talk means anything or whether it's just talk. Now, my point is, if your mom is important to you, if you are determined to honor her with the respect and attention and obedience that she deserves, then you will honor her with much more than your talk. You will recognize that words aren't enough. And so my question for each one of us at the very beginning of looking at any practical suggestions, my question is, do your actions say one thing while your lips are saying something else? Mom, I love you. Mom, I want you to be happy, but your actions are saying something else. Which do you think Mom really hears? There are four specific areas that I want to urge you to honor your mother. If you take care in these things, it'll go a long way in making you a child who rejoices the heart of his mother. Number one. Honor your mother with your thoughts about her. Do you ever think about who she is? Do you ever think about how she regards you? About her thoughts for you? She's not a cur dog that growls at you for no apparent reason. She's not a sadist who delights in inflicting pain on you and, quote, ruining your life. She's not a passing acquaintance whose friendship is like the fog which will dissipate with the heat of the day. She's not going anywhere. She's your mother. She has loved you since before you were born. Ask our sister who is great with child. Well, we know you love the child you have. What about number two that's on the way? I don't care about number two. This parasite that's taking all of my... No. She loved you before you were born. She probably prayed for you before you were conceived. Now, maybe her mothering skills aren't perfect. But everything she's done for you and everything she's asked of you has had your good in mind. Do you believe that? Well, my mom's not been a perfect mom, therefore I don't have to honor her. No. She will acknowledge her mothering skills are not perfect. Your fathers ought to acknowledge their fathering skills are not perfect. But the point is, everything that your mom has done for you and everything she's asked of you has had your good in mind. She loves you. She yearns for your happiness. That's how she thinks about you. Now, my question is, what do you think about her? Proverbs 15 and verse 20 says, a foolish man despises his mother. Now, is that you? Do you despise your mother when she asks you to do something that you don't want to do? When she needs to rebuke you for some sin or needs to chasten you with some instrument, do you despise her? Do you ever say in your heart, Mom's so mean, and I wish she wasn't my mom? Have you ever said in your heart, I wish Mom were dead so she wouldn't bother me anymore? I wish Mommy would go away. My friends, that's shameful. That's shameful to have such thoughts of her. Children, honor your mother with your thoughts about her. And treat every dishonoring thought for her as the vile thing that it is. And ask God to forgive you those vile thoughts and ask God to help you love her as you ought to love her. But then secondly, honor your mother with your words. Whether they're spoken to her or spoken to others about her. Do you respond respectfully when your mom speaks to you? Now, I was reared in a culture where there was only one acceptable way to respond to your mother, and that was, yes, ma'am. Or if the answer warranted a no, it was no, ma'am. But not, yeah. Yeah. No. No, it was yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. And if you didn't hear yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, if your dad didn't hear yes, ma'am, or no, ma'am out of your mouth, you'd smack your mouth. This mouth's been smacked a few times. Okay? But the point is, there is a right way to speak to your mother. And I'm not saying that you have to adopt Southern culture to obey the fifth commandment. That's not my point. But do you speak to her respectfully? My parents called it back-sassing. You know what back-sassing is? That's when you get mouthy with your mother, right? Yeah, but. That's not fair. You're mean. I don't want to do that. Do you back sass? Do you argue with your mother to get her way, to get your way? You've said you want to do something. She said no. And it's as though that word never crossed the threshold of your ears. And so you keep pressing the case and you become more animated and more agitated. And you hear no the second time. And that didn't register either. So you continue to argue. You continue to debate the point. You don't have a reason why no. And so your mom condescends, though she is your superior. She condescends to tell you her reason, whether you will understand it or not, and you still don't hear that, and you continue to argue on and argue on and argue on, and finally, either she or your father has to step in and step on you to get you to act respectfully. Now, is that right? Speak respectfully when she asks you to explain your actions. Don't lie to her, either outright or with the ubiquitous, I don't know. Who did this? I don't know. It's just you and mom in the house. But who did this? It's the dog. The dog did it. The dog did it, right? The dog got into the cookie jar and ate the whole 5-pound bag of cookies. Do you dishonor her with your body language? Oh, you would never say. You would never say anything that was disrespectful. But you'll cut her a pose. Right? You'll respond with a rebellious look. You'll roll your eyes. You'll turn your back on her while she's talking to you. Or you'll drag your feet. I'm going to obey, but I'm going to let you know. I'm going to let you know that I'm doing this under protest. And so don't expect it to happen quickly. If it's a 5-minute job, we're in for 2 hours here. Right? Right? Body language. How do you speak to your friends about your mother? Sometimes children have the idea that speaking disrespectfully of their parents to their friends is cool. Now, I don't know if the word cool is even the right word nowadays. Well, my old man said I had to do this. My old lady said I had to do that. You deserve to have your mouth smacked. You deserve to have your friends turn to you and say, what kind of a son or a daughter are you that you would speak of your mother or your father in such a disrespectful way? Don't dishonor your mother with your lips. She's your mother. Speak to her and about her respectfully. And then third, honor your mother with your ears. Do you listen carefully to what she tells you? Especially when she's giving you chores to do. When she calls you to come, do you suddenly develop acute deafness? She can summon you from your room at the other end of the house for dessert with a whisper. But if it's to come and carry out the garbage, she needs a bullhorn. Right? Honor your mother with your ears. She deserves your full and undivided attention. She's more important than your iPod or your iPad or Instagram or Facebook or your teeny bopper friend who's on the other end of the line with you. She deserves your undivided attention. And she deserves for you to listen when you hear her voice. And then fourth, Do you honor her with your hands? Do you do what she tells you to do? Do you do it promptly? Do you do it cheerfully? Do you do it fully? Are you accustomed to giving your mother first-time obedience without her having to badger you, without her having to rebuke you, without her having to chasten you, without her having to threaten you with imminent demise? And do you make any effort to do things for her just because she's mom? Not because you have to, but because it's mom. You love her and you want to honor her. You see, you have opportunities, you children, you have opportunities every day of the week to do things for your mom that's not on your list of chores, that isn't on your list of stated responsibilities. You have opportunities to make tangible expressions towards her of kindness and helpfulness, carrying burdens for her. You see her walking through the house with this big vacuum cleaner and this octopus of hoses and everything. You can step out and say, Mom, let me take that. You can walk by the sink that has some dirty dishes in it and rinse them out and stick them in a dishwasher. You can bend over where you see that someone's tracked some leaves into the house from outside. You can bend over. You can take a broom or a whisk brush or something, you can get that up. Take what, 10 seconds? You can do those things. You can clean up messes before she has to clean them up. You can help those of you who have younger siblings. You can step in to help with younger siblings. There are dozens of ways to say by your actions, Mom, it is my joy to honor you. We need to consider our ways. And we need to treat our mothers as God commands us. Honor your mother. It's right. It's in your own best interest. And indeed, it will bring her joy and not grief all her days. Now, can we really do anything else and have a good conscience before God? And remember, what goes around comes around. Treat your parents with disrespect, and that's what you're going to get. And your children. Bank on it. Not only will you not live long upon the earth, but those years will be marked with the kind of grief and sorrow that you visited upon your parents who loved you. For God will not be mocked, and He will not have His word disregarded. If men will not learn the difference between wisdom and foolishness from His word, God will teach men the difference between wisdom and foolishness by His judgments. Be wise. And honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Let's pray. Father, we bow before You again this morning, mindful that in so many things we fall so far short of the things You command us to do. And Lord, there's not a one of us in this room this morning, not a one of us who can say that we have kept the fifth commandment with anything approaching perfection. And we do grieve, Lord, our sins against our mothers and our fathers. And we ask, Lord, that You would help us to take to heart the things that we have heard. And whatever our past behavior has been, Lord, grant that we might bring it to you, that we might find forgiveness from you. But more than that, Lord, we pray that you would set our feet on a different path, so that in our thoughts, in our speech, in all of our dealings with our mothers, that we would honor them. For indeed, it is right. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.